welcome to episode 4 of the Upside Podcast. We've got a newcomer joining Brandon today. With us, we have Josh. Josh, say hello to the people.
Howdy, people.
Yeah, so Josh is one of the team members. We're trying to bring everyone on to the podcast, give them a chance to talk about themselves, talk about us and stuff that's happening in the game. So Josh, you want to give us a little introduction to who you are, what you've been up to, and why it took you this long to get on the podcast?
Well, I'll blame you guys for that one. No. Yeah, Josh Adams. You know, I've played collectible card games for a while. Started with Magic. I've tried Yu-Gi-Oh! Very briefly. Came to Lorcana. Always been kind of a nerd. Lots of video games. Yeah, kind of go with that.
Cool. Thank you, Josh. We're glad to have you on here. Before we get into, you know, topics, let's talk a little bit about this weekend. You know, it was Mother's Day weekend. Any life events happening, Brandon?
I got to spend my week driving around, I don't know, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, chasing my daughter around to soccer and concerts and way too much time in the car. But I got some sun, as you can kind of tell, I'm a little pink.
Other than losing at Lorcana, which we'll talk about in a second, not really. Took advantage of the good weather to do some yard work. But other than that, not playing Lorcana very well. Josh, what about you?
Kind of the same. Yeah, I mean, we have Mother's Day, so took the wife out for a nice little picnic at Beacon Skiff. And then the kid's unfortunately sick, so the rest of the plans kind of were rained out. But yeah, pretty relaxing weekend.
Otherwise, well, we're burying the lead here, which is what happened to the Upside at the most recent Set Champs. So a group of us decided to head on down to Allentown, Pennsylvania, competing at the Encounter Set Championship. It was a fun drive, great time with the guys headed down there. But boy, did we learn a lesson about playing the game of Lorcana, at least the lesson of how to lose gracefully. I guess I'll start by sharing my experience. I ended up going 1-3. There were only 4 rounds. We only had 14 people, I think, registered for the tournament. My one win was against Danny. Thanks, Danny, for taking the L for me on that one. But the rest of my matches were at least close. So I can't say I got completely blown out, minus the guy who I think made top 4. He had a really good, interesting Emerald Steel deck, actually. So a cool plan instead of discard. In any case, all of my games were close. They came down to who drew the best card off the top of the deck right in the moment. My first opponent was playing Ruby Amethyst. I got to look at his hand using Ursula, saw that he had nothing to really deal with my board. So I went sideways, quested. What does he do? He top decks a Merlin Crab. So I was able to bump up one of his guys, challenge mine that was able to quest for 2 or whatever. And I couldn't get enough lore on the next turn to win before he got the B prep. My other game against Chubb literally came down to the freaking, what's it, John Silver, the cook card, that when you play him, chosen character can't challenge for that next turn, which all he needed was to get a little bit more lore before I could get to the next turn. And of course, he beat me that way. Josh, what was your experience like this weekend?
Not as good as that. I don't think I've ever had Emerald Steel discard treat me so poorly ever. Round 1 played against Diggy Diggy Hole. It was, I thought I had it in the bag, and Daisy Duck doing some serious work and putting pretty much every single ping spell I had right to the bottom. So he was able to, through just attrition, get through and win round 1. Round 2 was Ruby Amethyst with the evasive builds. And yeah, I just couldn't keep anything on the board. So he was able to kind of take that one pretty easily. Round 3 was against our friend Danny here, and a couple decent close matches, but he definitely kicked my butt.
And you guys were a mirror match on that too?
Yeah, mirror match. And then round 4, won by default with a fantastic buy.
I saw that. I checked that out, you guys were doing. I got a question. So are you ready to ban Diablo now?
No, because it's still not that overpowered.
Clearly.
Very clearly.
I mean, Diablo in my Emerald Steel matchup did kind of shut down Chernadogs in the fact that, you know, that the deck plays off of my ability to discard with Tramp and then draw up from that to feed my discard pile for Chernabog. So the last thing I want to do is give my opponent who's got a Diablo out, and thankfully he wasn't running the discard package, but I could imagine if he had, you know, Prince John out there, I'm discarding 5 cards and drawing 5 cards. He's drawing 10 cards off of that. So no, thank you.
What you mentioned, the Emerald Steel, but the non-unique, it was more of a unique build.
Yeah, no, not not the discard package. So take out your Prince John, take out all of your discard spells other than Ursula. And Ursula's just such a, Ursula Deceiver, that is such a strong card to be able to take a look at your opponent's hand and pull out that song that will likely banish one of your characters. But the other kind of like key components of this deck were Tinkerbells. So our shiftable Tink to then ping the board for one. And then the Prince Philip that shifts for six and banishes all damaged characters. So his game was all about pinging your board and getting to six ink to shift with Morph and wipe your board. He had some really good plays too with the Champion of Sherwood being able to challenge, banish your characters, gain lore off of it. So a really fun and interesting take on the deck. Something I'd be curious to try. I know we were spitballing some ideas in the drive up. The guy who played the deck said that they'd been doing a lot of testing with it, and by taking out the Ursula Deceiver of All, really freed up some more space in the deck because it doesn't really rely upon that double singing like the discard does. So frees up some spaces in the deck to try out different things.
Especially that early Ursula, getting that card, like you said, I know when I'm playing Steel Song how frustrated I get when I see that because that, there goes their character. They know they saved that card.
Yeah.
And hard to beat.
The 1-3 is. Yeah, 1-3. He has a big butt, as we like to say in the game, to survive a lot of the burn spells. But yeah, so not a great weekend for the upside. But that kind of gives into the topic of like, not only how do you deal with taking an L in a match, but also like as a team, you know, we had to play each other, which as we go to more and more of these tournaments, it's bound to happen. But it is kind of like a self-defeating thing to show up, play each other, eliminate someone from potentially getting into top eight. So, you know, how do we deal with our losses? And then also, how do we handle when you're playing with a teammate? You know, so Brandon, Josh?
Go ahead. I mean, in terms of playing a teammate, you know, it's just, it's good fun. It's like you're playing at on your home field. So for me, it's no different. Obviously, if you're knocking, you know, a friend out of top eight, you don't feel great about it, but you know, you make the best of that situation.
Yeah, I'm not. I enjoy it because then I almost feel like the stress drops a little bit. When I'm playing someone I don't know, I don't want to look dumb. I figure everybody looked dumb in front of you. It doesn't matter. But like, but realistically, like when we went out like last week, we were in Rochester, and like you just, you're kind of getting to know someone. It's a little different. When I go against Josh or something, I know mostly what's exactly going to be. My question in preparing is like, so like last week when we were in Rochester and played, and then you guys played Storytellers on Sunday, right? Like looking at different decks, and is there, are you seeing from week one to week two, and now we got week three coming up, and there's a couple set championships we'll be going to at Tabletop and Dame, types of decks you're kind of making changes to play against?
It's really tough to say right now. I think the field has been so diverse that you really can't expect, you know, one deck to be there and play into it. You really need to be prepared for, no pun intended, literally anything. Even with like, Josh, you said you played a Diggy deck. I didn't see a single Diggy deck back at Rochester's event, but I saw three solid Steel Song decks. So it's the same two colors, but a different flavor. Even Emerald Steel, right? You see those two colors, you expect, oh, here's another discard deck. No, the dude was playing with like a ping damage, banish all your characters sort of thing. So there's like even unique flavors within the expected color combos where at this point, I don't know what to expect. Expect the unexpected, I guess.
If you look back 6 months ago or 9 months ago at other set championships, that's not what we were experiencing. We're like, okay, there's three decks that are going to be here and we know what's going to be and how do you match up? And like you literally, 1 week you're learning to counter it and so the next week you can do something against it and compete. But now it's, we finally got a lot of cards out there, at least for the next set. And then we kind of have a couple less, but it's kind of a little fun. I think, now if I could win, that'd be nice. Well, struggled this set.
That's the goal always. So let's talk about, you know, not just playing our teammates, because we've dealt with that this past weekend, but then the losses too, because the upside, we're not racking up enough wins early on in the set champion season here. So, you know, let's talk about losses. You know, for me, I think I've lost way more games of Lorcana than I've actually won. In like tournament settings, it definitely feels like perhaps I've won more given, you know, success within tournaments locally here. But I play a lot of games either on Lorcanito or Pixelborn when that was a thing. And losses are just something, one, it's going to happen. Can't do anything about it. my background in education really makes me look at losses as a true learning opportunity. So I gain way more knowledge from losing a match than I do winning one. Winning could have been lucky. I'm so glad I drew that card off the top of my deck to get there. But losing, you go back and you think like, ah, if I had played that, you know, turn a little bit differently, what would have happened? I don't have that same thought process when I win games. So for me, you know, it sucks to lose, but I learn a lot from it. And I go back and I might tweak my deck, or we were brainstorming new decks in the drive back home. So I think there's a lot to be learned from losses, and you just can't be down on yourself. We've talked about this before, the dice roll. You know, it's just chance. Can't be mad at it. If you lose the dice roll, don't go into that match thinking like, oh, there's no way I can come back. Things can happen in the game. Your opponent can brick. You could get all the right spells afterwards that you need. So don't give up when the dice doesn't go in your favor, and learn what you can from losses.
I definitely like that, the dice roll thing. What phases me more is if I have the dice roll and then I blow it. That like frustrates the hell out of me. I feel like that's that advantage, especially when I'm playing Steel Song, and like that is the advantage in Steel Song. That's an interesting point you're talking about. The losses, I was talking to Anthony the other day, and I went back. So my only set championship was Ursula's Return. And I said to him, the morning we were going to the set championship, you said, make this change your deck. And I did, and I won. I was like, what did you say? Because I couldn't remember what I had played, because I'm so frustrated where I'm at now. And I was like, I think I need to take it back. And he even said, he's like, last set, you championships, you were like top four ranked, you were doing excellent. He's like, what did you do? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I don't know what's changed. I can't pinpoint all the games. And talking about losses, like, I feel like I'm losing a ton right now. Like, constantly. Even if I'm winning, I'm not winning 2-0. I'm winning 2-1, and it's getting lucky. So I'm planning on pulling it back to where I was several sets ago this weekend, I think. Take a shot. Find out Wednesday night when we play live.
Yeah, I've always been pretty confident in the deck I'm playing. This is the deck for the whole set. I'm good. I have absolutely no clue right now what I should be playing, which is pretty frustrating. Feeling confident in Emerald Steel this weekend was pretty frustrating to see it perform as poorly as it did. I do have, you know, a backup now, doing some tweaks to an old deck I've been playing with. So we'll see how that's performing. It's done okay today on Lord Canino, but yeah, not, you know, just not relying on winning the dice roll is, you know, just don't expect to win that, but going. Trying to still win, have that right mindset.
I'll tell you what I'm nervous for tabletop this weekend. It's not a deck. I'm nervous Marquise. I don't know. The kid's on a roll. He's like shooting out decks on the Discord. Yeah. He's like, I got this now, and I'm trying this. And it's like, I wanted to say, when the hell do you work, man? Like, you're coming up with better decks, but man, something. Okay. He top four this weekend. Good for him. Where do you do that? Great Escape or something like that. But yeah, that's as I'm thinking about who we're playing this weekend. That's one that has me a little scared.
I'm not sure if you looked at that deck list that he posted.
No, I saw you comment.
It was crazy pop-off potential, but I'm just nervous that it can also not happen just as likely, which is, I think, the problem with it. But his creative juices right now are absolutely insane. I think we're going to see some Chubbs equal decks. In terms of creativity.
Well, that's one of the things that impressed me. And, you know, you guys were talking about it, like testing and trying different decks. I think that's one of the things that we should really like as we're coming through things and banging some stuff out. We've got a couple guys that are really doing it now. We're seeing more of it now. Where are those things? Where can we find those little tweaks? Because there's a couple card combinations and that can overcome something. So,
yeah, stay there now. So enough about our losses and battling each other, but let's talk about the future now and how we've been kind of experiencing the meta. I'll start this discussion off with the fact that this is the first set championship in which we've had a card, or two cards actually, get banned right before we get to set championships and really reset the meta. So in some ways, I think we're kind of experiencing like the start of a set all over again, rediscovering decks. So, you know, what are we to expect the unexpected?
I think we're going to see some crazy decks from everyone playing basically two color combinations to the fields wide open. There's decks and cards that you haven't seen in multiple sets that are now becoming prevalent. I mean, the Peter Pan Evasive, it was like one or two of in Emerald Amethyst, and Ruby Amethyst turning that into a whole build is, to me, insane. Seeing that, it was pretty crazy.
see it in every Amethyst deck too. It's like, it's not just Ruby Amethyst. It's like, if you're playing those color Amethyst as a color, you might want to have that Peter Pan in there.
Absolutely. I mean, you're seeing deck lists that are set six, set five are starting to become better than the current set seven decks just because those old cards are so powerful still.
We got 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 of us together, got a whole bunch of boxes, cracked some packs, played some games, had some fun. And one of the comments, and this is another conversation I had with Anthony earlier, was someone said, I don't see a lot of cards in this set. I only see two. And he was telling me how he doesn't think there's a lot of great cards in the set. But it was interesting is that we thought the set was really going to be game-changing when the game-changing aspect of the set is taking us backwards. Like, you're filling in. I mean, do you guys kind of agree with that? You're seeing the set six and five. Like, I don't know a card from the set that I'm like, I got to have in my deck, in the deck that I play.
Depending on what you're looking to play, I still think the Bell can be crazy, which is actually a card I'm back to testing. I thought the card was going to be dead pretty much the rest of the set until we saw some better support coming next set. But
you're talking about the three drop trade for an item?
Yeah. For anybody that plays Ruby Sapphire, the DKP version, there's a new little trick with Merlin's Carpet Bag, I believe the card is called. You can play your one drop item, get your Bell out. By turn five, you're playing your Tamatoa to play the Carpet Bag for free. You're just bouncing items back in and out, left and right. And it's actually way more effective than I think Hiram was.
So someone found that solution. You know, we got rid of a couple of cards.
It's been in talks on the 20 Pro Lore Discord for a while, but I think a lot of people are starting to kind of adapt to that build with their list. So that's what I was playing with today. It almost rivals Ruby Amethyst's ability to draw.
Wow. I played the Zan list of Ruby Sapphire that has all of the item build stuff. It has no Maui Half Shark. It's just the Tamatoa. Get those items out. The Maurice's Workshop card, which lets you draw anytime you play an item, spend one ink. That was really strong, and I saw way more draw out of that than Hiram. But it's more complicated, right? You've got more uninkables to deal with. So you might get more out of it, but it's probably not as efficient. So there's trade-offs with it.
True. I think the nice thing about the Merlin's Carpet Bag is that you get to bring an item back. So you get to use it because it also plays Vitalisphere. Mm. So you can play your half shark, play a half Vitalisphere, and then hop that to get your challenge in to get an action back on that turn. So you have to be a little more careful with what you're doing, but it's pretty impressive so far.
And then throw a freaking Peter Pan in there too and give your half shark. It's the other thing I dealt with too, with not expecting that, forgetting that half shark. Yeah, Peter Pan gives evasive characters rush. You got a half shark running in at you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fun. No.
Not, yeah, definitely not fun.
Say not, for the, not for the opponent.
Well, you know, we've got a few more set champs. Let's see what comes, what we play. Hopefully we get some dubs for the upside. Brandon, you were talking about something before we hopped on the podcast here about some of your frustrations with the time that we're in right now.
So my frustration. This is to you, Ravensburger, or even whatever. We're at four sets a year, right? And so every 3 months you're getting a new set out. And it's tight timing. What I think my frustration is, we had first weekend of set championships. We have 4 weekends to play set championships, right? And you're trying to get at least one, if not two, every weekend to compete. Right after the first weekend, they start dropping the new stuff. So like your conversations that you have is, how do I focus on set championships? Also looking at the new card, people getting excited. I'm frustrated that it's so tight. Like, I would add a week or two in. Last one was an interesting one because of whatever was going on. We had an extra couple weeks between Azurite and Arcasia. And then some people were complaining there was some downtime and there was a little frustration, but it seems like we could find a better timing on things. So they're still pumped. I feel like people are more pumped for the new set than they are for the current set championships. But for us, when we're out there trying to play and win, you know, people are looking at the new stuff, and I haven't looked. Does Lord Canito have any of those cards out there yet? But usually within like a week or so, you start to see the new cards on the websites. And I don't know, 2 weeks of pumping up the new cards is not a bad thing. Right? Even if you you just put it an extra week. It's after week two. You just get a little bit of talk about the set championships. Maybe if we're building to something, once we get the DLC list after World Championships, that might change some things. But that adds a whole nother conversation. And as we spend time talking about set championships, we talk about DLCs, and we're trying to also talk about the new cards. And I don't just mean here. I just mean in general. All of us are on Discord talking about stuff. This stuff pops up. You got one conversation here that's talking about the new card that just came out, and you're trying to time things, and people are, you know,
I'm just thinking about the Discord right now and how like back and forth it is. Hey, we're talking about set seven decks, and then also, hey, look at this weird new combo that set eight will bring us.
Yeah.
No, it's literally the meme. I made it early on in Arcazi's Island release because it did feel like too, there was some promotional material that came out for Reign of Jafar early on. And when we got that promotional material, I posted the guy looking back at the girl, you know, for set eight, Reign of Jafar, when he had just gotten. And then next thing you know, set eight's coming out, and I reposted the meme again in the Discord because I was like, it's so true. Like, this is what's happening right now. I'm being distracted by the shiny new thing instead of focusing on, you know, you were talking about how Anthony was already thinking about, you know, decks to play. Same thing. People keep, you know, I played Chernabog this past weekend, and everyone's saying, oh, look at the stuff that Chernabog's getting. Yeah, great. Or Chernadogs, rather. Cool. Next set. But I'm in this set right now. I got to deal with the pieces that we've got working with.
Not get those cards, right?
And yes. That's
the other thing. Is
we started.
I mean, that doesn't even, we're just starting to look at how we're going to get it. I realized I sent a message today, and I was like, I haven't pre-ordered anything yet. But yeah, so it's going to be an interesting little thing. And I personally, I tend to push off looking at the new stuff. Some stuff will come up. I see it when Anthony sends it to me. I mean, he's super pumped. He's a huge Stitch fan. So obviously the new Enchanted, the Rapunzel Enchanted, I'm pumped about. That's one of my favorite. I like the Rapunzel cards. I look at the big stuff like that, but I don't look at technique. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do this weekend. And I think I'm going backwards. I think we're going to, a shocking thing for my hero deck. I might be bringing in a villain to my hero deck.
A villain in the hero deck?
Yeah. It was originally in it.
Is it Pete?
No.
Did you tell Phil?
Yeah. And actually, Phil's not as prevalent as he was. I did go down to three. I'm just testing that a little bit.
Okay.
Who, when the Steel Song set three, four, who was in there? Is it set, turn two?
Oh, the Queen.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a place in Steel Song.
I haven't played her in a while. Between that, I like the Kita. I use that a little bit too. And that one, I was trying to figure out, I don't know why, I can't remember what I played when last time. I did play the Kita during the last set championships and did really well. I haven't played the Queen in a while, but I used to do real well with her. I love the surprise. Turn to Whole New World. Like, it just messes with you. It screws everyone up. And I like messing with people. So, I mean, I think that might be worthwhile. I've been doing that a bunch on Lorcanito, and it definitely, that early game, when you do that, it's like almost a guaranteed win now. Who forgot? And it's, again, going back to something that worked. I haven't played it in probably three sets, but it's a lot of fun. And it does mess with people. And if you do it properly, I screwed it up on Lorcanito this weekend when I was playing a game. I accidentally buffed their character, so I destroyed mine. And I ended up losing because of it, because it was a Robin. It was a beloved outlaw. But
to be fair, the Lorcanito makes it very easy to click the wrong thing. And well, then hopefully your opponent lets you
under. I don't even bother trying to ask because I figure that's six turns of...
That is one of the things about, not to sidetrack us with the digital client, but I prefer the paper card game for the very reason decisions don't happen until I actually make them happen. Number of misclicks that I would make, even when playing, you know, Marvel Snap or other digital games, I fat thumb stuff all the time. You can't fat thumb something in a real game. You know, you can be like, oh, I didn't mean to, or I've said the wrong card, something like that. But, you know, I think there's fewer mistakes or the potential there to make mistakes when you're not just pressing buttons. You actually have to physically manipulate your cards.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'd rather play in person. I'd rather play with the cards. In Rochester, last week, when we were at Just Games, I did screw something up. And because it's a set championship, I won't ask to walk something back. You know, and it was funny because I was talking to the guy afterwards, and he was like, I'm really glad you didn't ask because I'm too nice. I would have said yes. And I was like, that's why I wouldn't ask. I don't want to put you in a situation. I screwed up. And it was a simple thing with Piglet that I didn't. I sacrificed one of my players before I quested, so I didn't get the extra two lore and ended up losing that game, I realized, because of that. But again, it's my mistake. I won't make that mistake again. But that is such an easy mistake to make. You click that wrong stupid thing. Depending what format you play, I stopped playing on the iPad and went and got a laptop. One of the reasons was because I wanted to be able to play. Well, that does kind of segue into some of the new releases, though. we've been kind of hinting at it. Is there any cards out there you like that you're like, that is going to be a cool card to play?
I don't know about playing, but the new Honey Wizard. I mean, that, or no, that's going to be
that's set 9. Next set.
I lied.
That's it. We're already carving up set 9, right? And we don't even have it yet.
We need that meme.
Yeah. Those damn icons. I mean, let's be honest. Everyone wants those icons. We'll be buying 3 cases each to get one damn card. Yeah. So Josh jumps and you'll get him the first 2 packs you open.
No, we already started a conversation in the car on the way back from getting our butts kicked for when we get together for that set. I'm trying to remember. There's just so many cards that have come out now between the 2 sets. I'm trying to remember which one's which.
Well, and even to the point of like keeping them in our minds of what's released when we're trying to worry about like set champs, right? So some of the cards I'm like, oh, cool, look at that, but then I forget it. So, you know, thinking of specific cards, nothing is coming to mind right now of like, wow, that's going to like really change the game. But I think generally they're leaning into some more like archetypes in the game that we saw start to rise, and now they're really doubling down. So as someone who just played it this past weekend, Chernadogs, Emerald Amber is getting a bunch of new cards that seem viable. A new lady, a shiftable tramp. Those probably have a space in the deck. We were talking about Marquiser earlier. He was playing that, you know, Ruby Amethyst manipulation of damage deck.
Yeah, he made a comment about that at one point. Yep. He's like, yeah, he likes that.
Yeah, we're getting a new one of those. The Emerald Ruby deck combo, again, another like damage manipulation. Our teammate Mike has been playing a deck with those 2 colors, the same idea. So we're just getting more of things from like the last set that might be, I don't want to say they're not viable now, but none of the big names are playing those decks, right? But who knows, maybe next set with these new cards coming in, we'll see the top name player from wherever playing one of those colors we haven't really seen break the meta.
Yeah, we saw, I think, some new cards today or yesterday for Emerald Ruby with discard effects, which you haven't really seen that too much. So that'll be interesting to see that. The Emerald Steel Pirates and like damage kind of aspect, they're really pushing that pretty heavily. There's new action that we were all pretty excited about on Saturday. Walk the Plank, something like that. Mm. And yeah, that just
goes back to Inklings, doesn't it?
No, so this is a new action that all of your pirate characters gain the ability to exert and then
banish a damaged character. So it's like a weird pseudo board wipe. I mean, you play Tink and what is it, characters or pirates? I think it was pirates.
Your pirate characters gain the ability, I'm pretty sure. But yeah.
They're definitely, I'm sure we'll see plenty of those.
I'm fearful because it's my favorite color of losing Amber. I feel like it's quietly going away. And as we hit the end of this set rotation, we don't know what's going to stay. But I think a lot of its strength is going to be gone. And I don't feel like it's been replaced in 5 through 8, which will be the standard, right? The meta for set 9 is going to be 80% is 5 through 8. And I'm really fearful about part of it's the Steel Song piece of it, but there's some cards that I have a lot of fun with. And I don't know. I don't feel like there's been a lot, and I don't play a lot in from 5 through 7 at this point in my deck. Thoughts? I mean, you play a lot of Steel Song. You played it a little bit too, right? I mean, isn't the strength of that in 1 through 4? I mean, Ballroom Sensation, Spectacular Singer.
I mean, that's definitely a constant theme I'm seeing in the way I'm looking at cards right now is this is going to be great, but depending on what we're losing from the first 4 sets.
You pointed that out today on the Discord, and I caught that. One of the things is you said something to that effect, yeah. I think.
So, I mean, right now, pretty much all of our good ping spells in Steel are sets 1 through 4. All of the other good Amber songs are sets 1 through 4. So we're either going to have to see cards that do the same exact effect or close enough to replace what we're losing, or they're going to have to reprint some of these. But my general concern is in trying to do set rotations, we're going to be taking a huge step back when set 9 comes in. And all of a sudden we're going from playing these fantastic decks to where you feel like you're almost playing a half speed deck. And that's what I don't want for Lorcana, but I'm not sure we can avoid it at this point, just because they haven't been putting quite as powerful cards out. Like we said, you only play 1 to 2 cards per new set.
And speaking on that, I was wondering why we're dumping. I know the kind of standards, let's dump four. But I almost feel like we should dump two at a time and, like, you know, get rid of one and two. And you still have three. You're constantly moving two, but you don't completely rip the whole thing apart and then have to wait half a year till you can really start to build up a card base to go. Because, I mean, that kind of speaks to what you said. I also think with Amber, we're replacing a lot of dogs and puppies. I know we had some in Inklands. We all have 645 of them now. But, like, those princesses, the princess cards have been weaker, I thought. And, you know, replacing it with lots of dogs. And I love dogs much better than cats, in my opinion. I don't know. That's just my fear moving down the road. And, again, we have no idea. We only have a partial idea with nine.
Well, I think it changes our kind of perspective on Reign of Jafar, because in some way it should be a celebration and a conclusion to how many years of Lorcan is this now? 2.5 kind of approaching, or
two. It'll be two.
Two years. Okay, yeah. So, you know, 2 years of this game. And at the same time, it's like we're looking ahead to the next set, but the next set takes away so much of what came before. So there will always be this kind of discrepancy from a set at the start of this new rotation versus the thing you get at the end, because that last set, you're going to have it way less time than that first set of the rotation. So in some ways it's like, yay, really excited, we're getting a new set with Jafar. But then the next set comes, it changes the game completely, and Jafar will be a part of that, or one of the smallest time frames that we've had a set to play with. Because next time we get to the year cycle, that will be the last set of that block to rotate away.
So let's touch on that. Ursula's Return. What are we losing from Ursula's Return in that short cycle that we're really upset about?
Ursula's Return cards? Poof.
Along Came Zeus. What was the set for?
Is that four?
Is that set four? Mm, yeah, four. Yeah.
Four. Diablo.
Diablo.
Okay.
What else came from Ursula then?
Clarabelle is five, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to piece together the cards that...
Champion of Sherwood is three.
Three. I'm going to miss that. That's a great card.
Yeah, Inklands was honestly the set where I pulled the most Enchanteds from. So
yeah.
I'm sad. I hope. We talked about this last podcast, but Champion Sherwood is one that I really hope gets a reprint, because I selfishly have an Enchanted I want to keep playing with. So. But back to Ursula, there are probably some staples in there too that we're not thinking of that we're missing out on. So it's just going to change how we think about, you know, sets going forward. Maybe some people will be less excited about them. I can't really get a sense of the vibe right now in Lorcana. We seem excited for this new set, but we haven't experienced that rotation yet, which might change some people's minds on those last few sets.
Mm-hmm. And Jafar, I think for the first time, they've knocked it out of the park with the championship card. The look of the Jafar card is amazing, in my opinion. I got to get one. It's kind of a mentality. I mean, there's some cool enchantments that I really want. I still want one tramp one from this set. But yeah, I think that they finally, because some of those ones, I'm not, Hero one looks cool. I don't really care about Hero. I've got the Ursula. I've got the Scar. Those aren't bad. I wish I had a Stitch. That one would have been nice to have, but I think this one looks cool.
It's great artwork. I like the kind of sand motif that they've got going throughout the cards.
They have done an amazing job with the sand this time. I don't know if I've never paid attention before, but it's cool. And maybe there's been motifs, but there's one with Thumper, I think, is one of the coolest ones. It's Thumper, which looked ready to fight, and then the sand around it. And like, I don't think I would have noticed the sand if I didn't hear it pointed out on the Ravensburger podcast. It looks cool. I'm pumped for that, I think. The continuity there for change. Maybe we're moving forward and that stuff.
Yeah, they're getting more adventurous with the artwork. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that we're getting two new rarities too, in the, or not the next set. It's so easy to get ahead to the next shiny new object down the road. Any last final comments, gentlemen, on the Reign of Jafar? What's coming up next?
I'm just excited to see what crazy combinations people come up with.
I agree.
All right, let's go on to our 2K event. So we are...
Is that a 2K?
2K, yeah.
Day. That's pretty exciting.
A month away? What's today?
33 days.
Well, yeah, so we are a month and some change away. More people have been signing up. When we went down to the encounter, we were talking to people about, hey, you know, it's only a 3-hour drive. We made it here. You could make it up that way. Hopefully we generated some interest there, but pretty exciting stuff. We got more people signing up. The hype's building. I know a lot of people are focused on set champs, but you know the moment those end... people are going to be chomping at the bit for the next thing, and we've got the next thing for you.
And speaking of the next thing, you know what else we have with us today? We have the head judge of the tournament sitting right here. How excited are you to be the head judge of the tournament?
That's going to be first time judging, so not going
to
lie.
A little we nervous. Go from 0 to 60 in yeah. seconds.
So, no, it'll be fun. Just getting to talk to a lot of people, kind of walk through all these steps with everyone, and actually planning an event with a group of people that you enjoy playing with week to week is just
So when did you meet them?
Not say next.
You'll have to introduce us.
They're in the other group. But no, that's going to be super exciting, and just looking forward to seeing a lot of players we haven't seen before, and hopefully a lot of familiar faces too.
And speaking of this, and touching the judge piece, talking about learning from your mistakes, one of the easiest things to do is go to a tournament, see them screw something up, and then go, we can't do that. And I think we've seen that a little bit already, where it's just small stuff, but they can go a long way. When we get that full board of people, and we're going to be able to make that, and you're going to have some support. You're not the only judge, but he's going to get a whistle, and he's going to blow it, and no one will be able to sing.
Yeah, we got to get you like the Pete costume. You get like little Pete ears and the ref stuff. You blow your whistle.
You get him to wear that.
So you might need to find a new judge. Genie costume, I'll think about it. But.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
Which one? Robin or Will?
I'll let you use your imagination.
I actually never saw the live action one.
I don't think I have either. So. We'll go with Robin.
There we go. But back to the tournament, not to go too far away from it. You know, we've got the head judge here. This is something we've been, you know, talking about in our Discord is, you know, putting on this tournament. We really want to make sure we're putting on the best, you know, event possible. And so we even started talking about, don't worry about Josh being first time judge right now, because it is backed up by a team. We're going to be preparing by making sure we know the tournament rules in and out. You know, getting together as a group, making sure everyone understands it. So not only is this like good advice to people planning their own events out there, but you as a player, like becoming familiar with the rules. Not that you need to become a rule shark and get people caught in bad situations and take that to your advantage in a game, but more so that you don't get taken advantage of in a game. So you understand how things work. And the better you understand the rules, perhaps that's going to contribute to a better understanding of how to play the game, where you see, well, I get how this interaction works. Now I see how this combo might actually play that without understanding the rules, because there are some weird things. You know, just for example, when you're on a challenge versus after something has been challenged, you know, we had this come up with, what card was it this past weekend, Josh? Stall for time as we think of it. But there was something that came up that we're like, oh, how does this work? And the interaction.
Was it Brawl?
Brawl with something.
With something with Vanish. Diago, wasn't it?
I mean, that wasn't the example I was thinking of, but...
Because I know that came up at another set jam. Whether or not you could actually target the illusion Iago with Brawl because of the requirements of Brawl versus the stat line of Iago.
Mm. So you can't choose him. He'd be an invalid target, right?
Correct. Because when you do your state check, the attack requirement isn't met there. So it's not a legal target.
Yeah, and so if there are no legal targets, it would fizzle. Likewise, if your opponent did have something and you play it, now you have to choose that target, right? You know?
So here's a judge question that I'm going to throw at you. Just came to me in the head. I play Merlin Crab. Do you have to buff your own card? Does it have to be one of your own?
No.
So could you buff Iago, and since he's become the target, he's gone?
No. Because it's an action, not target. Not mm-hmm. chosen character. It's when an action specifically targets a character with Vanish.
And they mean the action as a card type. So because they use, and that was my first read too, when I saw that card, it's like, oh, action. Does that mean like players are allowed to take as many actions during a turn? So like an ability, if I take an action that targets, you know, a character with Vanish, shouldn't that work? But no, they literally mean the card type action, which could be songs or plain old action cards.
And folks, if you're worried about a first time judge, that was on the spot, his quick response. He knew the answer and he gave it with confidence. And that's all we're asking for. We have some great sponsors again. We mentioned them, but Tabletop is sponsoring us. Storytellers is sponsoring us. Dame Games is sponsoring us. Misfit Games is sponsoring us. They're all kicking in to help build some awesome surprise support up at 2K. I think we said that the set champion gets to qualify, correct?
Yep.
So we had one. We got to reach out to him from Storytellers.
I think we did. I'm going to look at Danny, engineer.
All right, awesome.
Podcast extraordinaire over there.
Yep. So we got one qualified, and then we'll get another two this weekend from Tabletop and Dame Games, and we will pass those on. Oh, that's this weekend, too. That's right. You're right. That's right. Yep. So we'll have all three, and hopefully we'll be abdicating some of those because we won, and we'll let someone else come in and play. We can only hope. 4 weeks, what's 33 minus five? So 4 weeks from this Saturday, we're 10 o'clock kickoff. So if you're looking for more information about it, it's the upside.quest. The information's there. $40 gets you in for the day. Again, lots of matches, lots of raffles, lots of fun. I think at the end of the day, that's one of the best things about this team. And Josh mentioned it, is we have a lot of fun together. There's always a good time. I had a great time today. And I'm in a way better mood than I was when I got here. Ravensburger, who actually did it. And I'll share the information. You knew it already. All the Lorcana cards are produced in the U.S. I did not know that, which is great when you're worried about tariffs, because we will not see an increase on price. So don't try to do that to us if you're thinking about it. But I'm excited because I was worried. We're already having trouble getting cards sometimes.
And speaking of our tournament and getting cards, we're giving away Reign of Jafar. So if you're, you know, worried about getting your playset, the winner of this event is going to take home two cases of Reign of Jafar. You have to get your playset of cards in two cases. If you don't, you take that up with Ravensburger, because something's going on with those boxes. Might be missing your Enchanteds and maybe some Cold Foil Legendaries, but I sure hope you're able to get your full playset of cards out of that.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool.
And just speaking about Reign of Jafar, I know somebody asked in the Discord if Reign of Jafar is going to be legal for that tournament.
Yeah, it will be, because it will be right. Unless I'm misspeaking now.
Our rules are whatever's legal as of Ravensburger that morning is going to be legal. So we're assuming everything from Reign of Jafar is, because it will have, I think it's 1 week after local store release, and it'll be, that's a couple weeks after local store release. It's actually a week at, because they shorten the time between local and big box this time. So it'll be everywhere by then. Hopefully not sold out. You've already pre-ordered some of your special stuff from Amazon, right?
Yep, got a Trove and the new Heist. So I'm sure we'll get together as a group and play that.
We had to do some kind of a stream event for it. Really give the viewers some more entertainment than just hearing us yap, seeing us suck at Lorcana in real time.
It will really be the Upside's quest, right? Yep. Well, it'll be our quest to take out Jafar, I'm guessing. I'm assuming that's what we're going to do. We took out Ursula a year ago, right?
Well, no, so this is a heist. We're not battling Jafar. We're just trying to get in and get out with that crown.
We're truly fulfilling that Thief of Agrabah.
All right, so let's pump that tournament one more time. Everyone, if you haven't yet, get to the Upside Deck Quest. We want to see you. Best of two that day. 5-6 rounds before we get the top 8 cut. Anything else, guys?
It's going to be live streamed, too. Maybe you're not feeling confident yet in your competitive skills. Well, hopefully by listening to the podcast, you're feeling a little bit more confident about that. But in any case, you can tune into the live stream. And so I'm really excited to be our broadcaster for that day.
I was going to say, you're Jim Nance that day.
Yeah, right? I'll be your color commentator / I need a partner, though, because I have to have a conversation. So we got to figure that part out. But I'm excited.
I think we talked about a lot of floating people in and out and see what works, because that's just fun. I mean, I think we all agree we have a little fun with that. Maybe the judge can pop in to provide his updates on what's going on at different times during the match. And he can even provide some legal feedback on the game going on.
Hopefully it's a slow day for you in the sense that people are playing by the rules. But if not, we're going to put you to work. So that's the goal.
Sounds good.
Any other things? We shouted out our sponsors. Reminder about the sponsor deadline. Is there something we need to say about
that? We're going to call on the engineer on that one. All right, that's cool. I would like to say, has anyone seen betting on who the next big bad guy is? There was some talk in the Discord, but is there any open lines on like BetMGM or anything like that?
I mean,
again, I'm talking to non-sports guys, so this is the last one right over their heads.
Yeah, I'm not a sports guy at all. For whatever reason, Radigan still gets like 30 cards a set. I feel like he has to be an option somewhere. They've supported the Great Mouse Detective quite a bit through all these sets, so I would not be surprised to see Radigan somehow.
I could see him being the big baddie going forward. There's some other ones. I think I mentioned Hades in our Discord. He's been up to some shenanigans in the background, kind of jealous of what Jafar and Ursula have been up to.
And some throne seats for him from early on, too, that they could throw back to.
Yeah, and yeah, it's really interesting. We got to see what happens with the next set, Fabled. What's the deal with that? What happens with Jafar? You know, there's been some theorizing about timeline nonsense happening there. But the other baddie I'll send out is the Evil Queen, because she has been working with her other glimmers, kind of gathering them together for some, you know, nefarious purpose that we don't fully understand yet. So they could be doing, you know, some MCU type stuff, really like laying the seeds for a future and not everything just being, you know, the immediate. I know we did get the seaweed in first chapter with some cards to lead us to Ursula's kind of reveal. Jafar, there's been some things with, like, I think it's Iago is searching for the Hexwell Crown to lead us that way. So I'll be curious to see what kind of hints and clues are left in the cards for Reign of Jafar that might tell us where the story is headed next.
That's going to be pretty exciting, I think, because you really did build around Jafar and you need the build up. And as they're getting better with the artwork and the story, I think we can see some really cool things next year. And they're clearly there. I mean, they announced what set 10's called. I don't remember what that was. Something about a wishing well or something.
Yeah, Whispering.
Whispers in the Well.
Which I believe one of the unique characters from Ravensburger 4, or kind of looked like he was almost possessed or was a glimmer, maybe himself, an evil version.
Oh, I saw, yeah, his eyes red. I wasn't sure if that was his glasses or not. The one image quality was pretty poor, so you couldn't see that clearly.
Whispers in the Well, and wasn't to speak to the Evil Queen, wasn't there something with Snow White in a well? I haven't seen the movie in a while. I feel like she's singing around a well. Or was that Cinderella?
Are we referring to the new card?
No, like movie, like original.
It's been a hot minute since I watched either of those movies, so.
Yeah, I think now that you say that, I think
young daughter.
I don't think she's seen Snow White. I think she does pull a bucket out of the well, though, at one point. One of the princesses doing, like, an animal comes out of it.
Maybe it was Aurora. I don't know. There he is. Coming through. So there, maybe that leads to the
Well of the Whispers. Or Whispers in the Well. But we got a whole nother set before that one, gentlemen. So let's not get too excited.
Yeah.
The price of theme park admission. All right. In any case, let's wrap this up. Teasers for the next what's coming down the pipe with us. We've got some set championships, so I'm sure we'll have more to talk about there. What happens with the team. I'm sure we'll get some more spoilery type things about Reign of Jafar. What's coming out there. Anything else on the horizon we're looking forward to, gentlemen?
Maybe we'll get to meet someone new next week, next time.
Another Maybe. Teammate. Yeah, I like that. There we go. All right. Well, I think that does it for us. So make sure you follow us on all of our socials. You can find all of our stuff on our website, theupside.quest. Everything to sign up for the tournament. Join our Discord. Follow us on all of our social media.
Our growing Discord.
Please join. Subscribe to the podcast where all podcasts are available, found.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Head Ref.
Yeah, thanks, Ref. Applause. Happy questing.